Okay. So I want to begin with some event that someone shared with me. This is a person that, a God-fearing Jew, learned Shaar HaBitachon, never even felt that he struggles with Emunah. But like everyone else, over the last couple of years, you learn Shaar HaBitachon, you get into that world, and you feel a certain deeper, let's say, bitachon, connection to God. Now, I know that the word bitachon has many translations, but let me just use for this class the word trust, right? Trusting versus untrusting. And he went through a stress experience, a very stressful experience where his life was at risk. And at that moment, not when he talked about it, when he was in it, he did not at that moment experience trust in God. And after he was saved from it, he looked back and now he's dealing with the guilt. Oh my God, I always thought I'm a trusting person and I'm not a trusting person. I'm talking about bitachon, I wasn't trusting. He actually thought that he's going to die. Like, his mind didn't go to a place of bitachon and emunah. And I told him that this was a big gift that God gave him. And let me tell you what I mean by that. All of us have ideals that we try to live up to. Like, in the realm of Yiddishkeit, let's speak about bitachon, just as one example of many. Like, it's good to have bitachon. Not only good religiously, it feels good. It feels a lot better being in a place of trust than to feel the anguish and the uncertainty when you are untrusting, etc., etc. So I'm not only talking about what feels better. It's good to have bitachon. All of us have a certain blind spot that in the areas where I know it's good to be A and not good to be B. It feels good A, it does not feel good B. I will become blinded to the fact that I have B, I won't see it. I won't experience it because I don't want to have it. It's amazing how this is a human illness. All of us have that dynamic, and that's not to our advantage. That is to our disadvantage, because I need to know what I am. I need to know what I'm not. I need to know my strong points. I need to know my weak points. And many people don't know their weak points, not because they're arrogant, because they don't see it. They mamash don't see it. Why would you not see it? Because if I'm being educated and I'm learning so much out of bitachon, trust, and I was never really challenged, then I'll come to the conclusion that I really trust in God. And if I have within me a lack of trust, just because I don't see it, it doesn't mean it's not there. And it actually disconnects me from God even more than if I would experience I don't have trust. I will own I don't have trust. That actually brings me closer to God. I know what I'm saying could be counterintuitive. So in any relationship, if A tells B, I don't trust you. So it sounds like, oh, that's horrible. They're not connected. A doesn't trust B. I'm not going to use the word horrible. But if we're going to use the word, you know what's more horrible? If A doesn't trust B, but they don't even know that they don't trust B, they don't communicate that I don't trust B. No, I trust you. I trust you. And they don't. That's horrible. Or in a relationship, it would be a lot better for people to be honest with each other, even if the honesty sounds very difficult. That's much better than hiding the truth. And I'm not talking about hiding it from A. That's what this guy was saying. This guy was saying, I never knew that I have within me a place which doesn't have trust in God. Him discovering it was a gift that God gave him. And that gift will actually make him closer to God, not farther from God. You know, there's a story that I shared a while back. It's such a beautiful story. There was a Jew in Russia called Zalman Moshe. His last name for sure is Yitzchaki. He lived in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe you heard of him. I know that he passed away many, many, many years ago. In the 1930s, he was already he was probably that in his 30s. That means he was probably born in the beginning of the 20th century. And he lived through the famine that the Soviets brought into Ukraine. Imagine, Ukraine was the breadbasket of the world. All the food of the world came from Ukraine. Until today, a lot of the flour of the world comes. It's called the breadbasket of the world. The idea of communism, which I theoretically sounds so beautiful and everyone is equal, was so horrible that there was famine that we don't know what famine is. No food. This Zalman Moshe Yitzchaki at that time was a married man, and somehow he had a job in the Soviet system. When you had a job, you would get paid with tickets. Ask all the Russians. A ticket meant that you got on a line. You would send your wife or kid. They would be online like for 8 hours to get a piece of bread. So there was a bread ticket and there was a milk ticket. That was the bigger yichus. Now, the meat ticket, even if they had, was not kosher. We didn't have such an option. So whoever had meat, it was all illegal that people owned, which was illegal, a chicken or a cow, and you shechted it, and none of this was, and shechting was not allowed to be done. But bread was kosher, even if it wasn't Pas Yisrael. Certainly, if there were enough Yidden, so they would throw a splinter in the fire oven. It was fire ovens. They made it Pas Yisrael. We used to call bread parv. Just know, in Russians, the old Russians, parve. Parve means it's kosher because it's not milchik, so you don't have an issue with maybe it's treif of milk aside of Chol of Yisrael. It's not fleishiks, chazer treif. Part of it was good. Everyone ate bread. That's what they ate. They ate bread and sugar. And then milk. Milk, you milk the cow. Yidden milk the cow, and it was Chol of Yisrael. This Zalman Moshe had a job, and he had two tickets on him, for bread and for milk. Milk, I don't know how it was where you guys grew up. When I grew up in Brazil, the Chol of Yisrael came from a cow in big canisters that my mother needed to cook to pasteurize. And after it cooked, it used to like flow over. And then when it settled, there was a very, very unpleasant gook that was so unpleasant that when they would pour the milk, you would need strainers. And it wouldn't even strain everything. It was horrible. I have trauma from, because my grandmother used to force coffee on me. And because if that got stuck in your mouth, it was like the worst of the worst for me, for a kid then. So when you have milk and you let it stand like that, so there's like the fat goes to the top and the water goes to the bottom. In Yiddish, the fat is called the smetana, and the water is called mugger. Mugger means skinny. I know that here in the society, mugger is the big yichus to be skinny. In Russia, there was the opposite. Skinny meant that you're a schlepper. Push it. If you were not skinny, it means that you're a wealthy person. Only wealthy people were. Okay. So anyway, there's a Jew walks into shul. The only guy standing there is this Rabbi Yitzchaki. He used to daven the latest. So even when everyone left, he was the last guy. He went to work. He was a very holy Jew then. Special Jew. He's davening. A stranger walks in and he tells him, I'm starving. Ich hunger. I never met a person that's starving. Thank God. I hope never to meet a person. You see pictures based on African, the kids. I'm talking about hunger means people that didn't eat for 50 Yom Kippurs, one after the other. Mm-hmm. Like it does something to a person. Ich hunger. So this tzaddik of a Jew tells him, listen, he says that I'm not starving. You're starving. I'm going to divide my rations with you. That's a big tzedakah, but on a condition. He says, I'll do anything you want. Now listen to this condition. He says, the bread, I'll divide in half. Half for you, half for me. The milk, I'll divide in half. But I'm going to take for me the smetana. I'm taking all the nutrient, the nutrition is better. And to you, I'm going to give the water down. Also nice. And what's the condition? He says, listen, after I do that, you have to tell me, but you have to mean it. And I'm quoting what he said. This is refined people. You have to tell me in Yiddish, you chazer, which means in English, doesn't mean you pig, it means you selfish person. The recipient has to tell the donor, you selfish person, to you you're keeping the good and to me you're giving the water down. But for you, all of this metana for you and for me the water? He says, if you agree to tell this to me, then he says, as long as you are in this city, I'm going to divide every day my ration with you. And every single day he went through that process. They got online, divided the bread. He kept the fat and he gave the guest the water. After the guest told him off, you selfish, he says, you're right, I'm selfish, let's switch it. So then he would end up with the inferior, and that Jew got the superior. Now, why was he doing that? He wasn't playing a game. Because he reached a place in his life where he felt that he's not a selfish person. And from our standards, he was not a selfish person. But what was his concern, which was legitimate, that somewhere in him, there's still selfishness. But he doesn't see it. He doesn't know it. He doesn't experience it. So he understood that just because I don't see something that's within me, doesn't mean it's not there. It actually makes it a lot worse. I have to see it. So he did something that makes sense, that even when we share, we don't share the best. We give a little bit. Find me a Jew. I know that some people are extraordinary people. They mamash give away their best. It's very hard to find such a person. By nature, even givers, you give, but you keep. So he wanted to make sure that he remembers that he's not more than what he is. He's a giver, and he's not selfish compared to the selfish, but he's not a tzaddik. And he has a desire to keep for himself the smetana. That's where he was at. And just by breaking himself doesn't mean the desire is not there. He wanted to deal with the feeling. So he wanted for someone to tell him, you selfish person, why are you being selfish? Acknowledging a fault is actually the first step out of the fault versus not even knowing it's there. So when a person thinks they have bitachon, they think that they're trusting, they are gifted when they have an opportunity to see that at certain moments, they're not trusting. And there's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't mean they're not trusting always. It means that when a person is drowning, at that moment, God was not the first thing that came into their head that God is going to save me. Say there. So they're not a tzaddik. So what that you're not a tzaddik? Acknowledging that I am not trusting to someone else actually connects me with that person a lot more than denying, I'm not even talking about hiding, than denying that I'm untrusting, thinking that I'm a trusting person. I trust you. If in me there is one place in one area where there is not trust, me knowing that and sharing that will create much greater of a connection than me not seeing it. Are we good so far? Okay, I think this is a big principle that's very easy to say. It's very difficult to practice. Tell a person to tell their spouse, say the emes of exactly how you feel the whole time. Not so simple. People are going to embellish, people are not going to own up, and most times people won't even see the negative feelings that they feel. They won't even know themselves. Because I'm not that person. I'm not an angry person. I know myself to be not angry. I know myself to be not this. I know myself to be whatever. Whatever your narrative is, it blinds a person. And therefore, the Alter Rebbe says beautifully, the Parsha opens up, Ki seitzei la molchama aloivecha. When we go out to wage war on our enemy, says the Alter Rebbe, number one, we have to acknowledge that we are at war. I'm not saying that a person has to force the feeling of conflict. But even when I feel at peace, there is something in me that's in conflict with me. I'm just not seeing it right now. Doesn't mean it's not there. You know, they say a good mushroom. You know, when you squeeze an orange, what comes out of the orange? Orange juice. And no matter how you squeeze it, how hard, how light, you're not going to get apple juice, you're not going to get lemon juice, you're going to get orange juice because it's coming from an orange. When A makes B angry, someone triggered you, I'm a calm person, you make me angry. Okay. If I would not have anger within me, you would not be able to squeeze anger out of me. What comes out of me is coming from me. And even if I know myself to be calm, as an example, if there is anyone at any time that's able to get me angry, that proves that there that is in me, but I'm blinded to it. I don't see it. If I don't see it, I don't have to wage battle against it. I don't have to deal with it because it's not there. So first of all, the Alter Rebbe says that in order to wage war against, we're talking about the inner war, you have to know that there is an enemy. So what does God do to all of us to make sure that we discover our enemy? God, within his kindness, sends people around us, particularly the people that are closer to you, to bring out within you all of your faults. They'll make you feel untrusting. They're going to make you feel angry. They're going to make you feel anxious. They're going to make you feel envious. They're going to all of the negative feelings that you feel. And the first mistake that we can make is that, oh, that's not me. That's what you do to me. No, you cannot do it to me if it would not be me. You're helping me see that part of me. You agree? You disagree?
I agree.
Okay. Start with that. So first of all, it's a big chachma for people to discover who their enemy is or what, where is my enemy within me? I think most people don't know their enemy. They don't know their enemy because they don't even see it. So that's the Alter Rebbe's word. The first step is discover that. It's very difficult to discover it if we grow up in a religious home in which there is so much emphasis in having good midos, in judging bad midos, and there's a place for that. Yes, when you see a person acting in a horrible way, or if they're very cruel, and we tell them, this is horrible that you're acting cruel, well, I don't want to be horrible. I will have a very hard time finding the cruelty within me. I mamash won't see it. It's like this guy, I never knew that I'm not trusting. He never knew he's not trusting. Doesn't mean that he's always not trusting. It just means that there is within him a place where there is no trust, which we all have. The goal of learning Shara Bitachin is not to deny that. Actually, the goal of learning Shara Bitachin is to see, the way that Shara Bitachin writes, that Bitachin, according to the Shara Bitachin, is a feeling of calm. It's tranquility. He defines Bitachin as tranquility, which is so amazing. Bitachin is not in the mind. Bitachin is a feeling. You can't fake a feeling. I can understand an idea, but I can't feel for that idea if I don't feel for it. God is amazing. We can understand that. Does every Jew always love God? No. But God is everything. I understand that. But there is here and there's the heart. When he writes that Bitachin is a feeling, he's giving me the tool to know where am I at with Bitachin. I know what Bitachin means. I know what the meaning of trust is. I know what the meaning of calm is. Am I calm? Not am I calm right now that we're learning in a nice air-conditioned home. Am I calm? I'm saying when I have to find a calm within me. For a person to say, oh, I have Bitachin, they're deluding themselves. They have Bitachin a lot of times, most of the times, But for them to begin to grow in their bitachon, first they have to find the place in their life where they don't have bitachon. If not, they don't even have what to work with. The neshama has bitachon before we came here. The neshama doesn't need to get more bitachon. My godly part is already rectified. I don't need to do anything with it. I'm here to get the rest of me on board. I have to discover the rest of me before I get it on board. I have to find someone with whom to talk to before I talk to that someone. The someone is the untrusting. You know, in this context, like Elul, there is, oh my God, let me make an introspection. I'm making a cheshbon ha-nefesh, like there is the unhealthy way of doing it, and your face already gets all stern, and I'm judging me. Yeah, emes, and I'm horrible, and I'm this. No, the Alter Rebbe is saying, don't do that. But discover where you're horrible, without judging it. Discover where you're selfish. Discover where you're untrusting. Discover all of you, for you to begin to do avodas Hashem. This is like the step number one. But okay, now this guy discovered that he's untrusting. Okay, now what do you do? What would be a dialogue with your untrusting part? Walk me through that. What do you do now? Okay, so I thought I'm trusting, and now I had a near-death experience, and in a moment of extreme stress. Oh, this guy's a trusting person, believe me. He's honest that he says that he has trust. But in that scenario, he had no trust. Okay, now what?
Now send yourself a message that next time you're in this situation, keep your eyes wide open. This is a test from Hashem, and you need to harvest bitachon at that moment.
How should a person harvest bitachon if they don't have bitachon?
By making sense of it when you're in a safe place, when you're in a safe place and you're not in a state of emergency, and you can access the bitachon more easily, you send yourself a message to the future that when you are in trouble, that you remember. When I was there, I sent myself a message.
Okay, so you're telling me that not trusting is because you forgot. What would happen? Let's go in the present.
Yeah.
Right now, if there's a person that you know that is under a certain life challenge,
yeah,
and they don't see a way out. So they're in a place of, I don't have trust. What happens if you are with them? And you're a good friend, and you remind them live, no, you got to be trusting.
But you can't remind someone else. You could teach them when they're in a good place that you're in a good place now, and when you're not, I want you to remember right now. I tell people all the time, I want you to know you're happy right now. Times are going to happen that are not going to be good. Remember that it's good now, and that it's going to be good, and set the footing now.
How do you convince not good that it's good? The same question. In other words, see the limitation of what you're saying. No. Let me go like this. Yeah, you're addressing, let's say, good or not good, that when a person is feeling horrible, they could forget that even though they feel horrible now, it's not all dark. There's good and bad. That remembering I understand. So you tell a person, even when it's horrible, don't define yourself as horrible. Don't define your life as horrible. Define your life like everyone else. Don't deny the fact that you're feeling horrible. But you're also, you felt good yesterday, you're going to feel good tomorrow. I want to speak about the horrible. I want to speak about just the untrust. That was the story that I'm talking about. If a person is right now not trusting, how do you, okay, now I know that I'm not trusting. And now what? Now I'm going to be trusting? What do I do with that? A person discovers that they're angry. Another mashal. Because I'm not talking about a judgment on their life. Say, let's go. No, same idea. I was educated, rightfully so, that anger is a horrible midah. Anger is avodah zarah. Okay? By the way, that's true. So says the Torah. Okay? So since you're young, you're telling yourself, angry? Oh my God. You're kidding? A Jew would die not to go avodah zarah. Never anger. Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, says, make sure you don't get angry. Okay, so when you're younger, very simple. I'm not angry. I knew a guy that smoked, and then he says, I don't smoke anymore. I don't smoke anymore.
I'm not a smoker.
I'm not a smoker. Yeah, and he said it like after he was smoking his whole life until like yesterday.
No longer smoking.
I'm no longer a smoker. And like, how so what happens now? If a person is angry, he should say, well, I'm not angry anymore. What do you do when you feel a feeling that you know is not a positive feeling? So now you are at war with it. What do you do with it? I want to just go back to what you're saying. So you're saying that when the person is not feeling angry, tell the person, remember now. Now you're not angry.
That it's a test. That Hashem's concealing the light.
No. So let me go back. Let me go back to my orange juice example. I said a lot of things over here that everyone let fly by, but now you're challenging it because you didn't challenge it at the right time.
Do you want?
I'm okay. Thank you. I'm okay. I'm making an argument that if someone made me angry, even though it was a particular person that did all the wrong things, and I never get angry because I'm not an angry person, you make me angry, I'm going to counter that sheker. True, that person has the unique talent of triggering, but they're triggering something that's already in me.
And we choose that person.
That's something else. God chose that person to give me the opportunity to discover parts of me that have to be dealt with. So now you get me angry. Okay. I know. Now, this, I'm using trust. Let's go to anger. Okay. Anger is something so bad. I was so taught how anger is terrible that, no, angry is not true. I would say I know I have anger in me. I want to go to the trust. I identify more. I trust. Trust God. I have bitachon. I don't have issues with bitachon. I feel compassionate for people that nebach don't have bitachon. Okay, many people are like me. That's the way they think. Until something happens where you don't have bitachon. I'm shocked. And you need someone else to point it out to you. Aha, big talker. Okay, now I discovered that I'm lacking bitachon. 99% of my life I have bitachon. I don't even struggle with it. But there is within me a lack of trust.
The instinct? Is it the instinct that we're fighting? Because
yeah, let's go with the instinct.
It's a survival instinct. I don't have bitachon because I'm scared something is going to happen. It's a life instinct. And when you are able to raise to your mind and think about it, and you remember that you believe in Hashem, that Hashem is doing everything, and this is a test, then you rise out of the primal instinct of not having bitachon. Not having bitachon comes from like an animal primal need for survival. So when you use your seichel, you elevate out of it, but you need to be reminded so that you don't go into fight or flight mode. You actually stop, you relax your nervous system, and then you could go into bitachon mode. But you need to wake up at that moment and be able to control your primal instinct.
So you're saying that when a person has a animal instinct,
yeah,
that the intelligence within the person, the seichel within the person, has the ability to talk the emotion out of itself.
Yes, absolutely. I believe that. I practice that.
If you don't have the seichel, the ability, so you...
But you're saying that the mind... Okay, let me challenge you. First of all, if it works, it's great.
Yeah.
I'm talking just for the other side. When you witness a person being in a certain feeling, mm-hmm, so... By minutes, Reuven and Shimon, by Sara and Leah. So Sara is very angry, or she has an emotion that we'll call a negative emotion. It's not a pleasure. She would rather not have it,
right,
but she has it. And you tell a person, doesn't make sense for you to feel that.
I don't do that. I let my friends vent and feel how I feel.
But why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you do that if it would be effective?
But we're going to talk about it.
Why wouldn't you do that? In other words, if intelligence, mm-hmm, if seichel has the ability of talking a feeling out of itself, then as a friend, why wouldn't you do it?
If they're in a panic mode, but if they're just venting feelings, then they're just venting feelings. I think people indulge in feelings, and there's people who are really like in a panic mode when there's a real emergency of some sort, and they can't breathe. It's like the mind robbing situation, like they're drowning. And at that moment, then you could help them bring the seichel in. But if a person's just venting, they're upset at their husband, they're upset at their whoever, then I kind of just let them.
Why do you let them? What's the difference? I get what you're saying. In other words, if I'll give you my answer.
Yeah.
I would let a person vent because I don't have your experience of the seichel countering the emotion.
Right.
I think, you know, for me, in my world, seichel counter seichel, that I know of.
Yeah.
So if I have a person that's very intelligent and they have a certain logical argument and you know, having a debate, and then I say, I can disprove your thesis. I see seichel being in the same world effectively.
Uh-huh.
And that's like, and that's what you, geschmack, sometimes you hear a good debate. It's nice to listen to it. If it's not that emotional, if each one is having a different perspective, in other words, the mind is beautiful.
Yeah.
So you have this point and that point. I have seen emotions countering emotions. I have seen that, mamish, where people that were, let's say, depressed, and they got in touch with, normally it's an environment, with a few people that were in a very elated, not external, but bipnimius, very high mood. They were in a very good place.
Yeah.
I saw a feeling lifting a feeling.
Right.
I know. I'm talking about,
sure,
midas that I witnessed. I can understand it. What you're saying is something that I don't know of. I actually, in my experience, you hold your ground. Don't give in to me. I saw that when seichel challenges midas gets more irritated.
Okay, so the way I look at it is like a radio station.
Okay.
Okay, and you get to choose what station you're on. If you have an awareness of all the different stations, and if you practice the bitachon station, then it's easier to use your seichel to take your emotions and to switch them over to the other station.
But then you're not dealing with it. You're just denying it. You're suppressing it. You're
denying it.
You're saying, I don't like you. Right. Let's say I have within me trusting, untrusting.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I'm lucky, I'm almost always here, without work.
Right.
For whatever reason, I didn't make an effort, God made the effort, and today I wake up, or in this moment, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a challenge that I don't see a way out, I don't feel the joy because there was a real doubt. No, I'm talking about an inner, doesn't feel, I feel untrusting. I'm here right now. So you're saying that I can use my seichel to go back here.
Because I use my seichel to learn about the
emotion. To go back here.
Yes.
I'm asking you, I know for those who are going to be listening, you can't see what I'm doing. What I'm looking for is not only with the ability of going back here, which is good.
Yeah.
I want to know what to do with this.
So my seichel sits with the emotion.
And what is it? And how does it convince untrusting to be trusting?
It tells my seichel, tells my emotions that this is a feeling you're feeling right now, and feelings have a certain amount of time that they could run, and then they pass like clouds. So I could sit with them, and I could watch them, and I could tell them, it's okay, it's here right now. This is not, it's not solid, it's an emotion. It's going to pass. And I sit with it, and
that's a good technique that would make, let's say, let's use the imagery. So there's me in my right, I have a cup that I'm calling the trusting cup, and me in my left cup, which is the untrusting cup.
Mm.
So a couple of steps. Step number one is that many people, if they normally don't struggle with lack of emuna, they can think that they have emuna, which they do, but there is within them a lack of trust.
Right.
So that's gift number one.
And we know that's a station that we could tend towards.
Very good. Now, let's say that the feeling of untrusting for me is overwhelming. I can't. Then I would agree to your technique. Then I have to remember that as horrible as it is, it's not forever. It's gonna pass. So I'm not asking you to tread water forever. When a person knows the feeling is gonna come and it's gonna go, that makes it easier for me to manage. I fully agree with you. I'm not talking about that. I want to know, what do I do with this? Is this something that I have to accept? This is the way it is? Or is there a way for me to somehow find something positive in the untrusting?
Well, it's a time that you harvest bitachon. It's a time where you get closer to Hashem.
I'm not, that would be me learning how to go back to cup on my right.
Yes.
And I'm coming from the premise, which you can debate, that that's not enough. It's not enough for me to learn how to always be in the light. Mm-hmm. Number one, I'm going to deny the fact that I have the left, mm-hmm. and the left will become a lot worse because I don't even see it. You know, darkness grows in the dark.
But you still sit with it. You're still with it. You're not...
Okay, okay, I get it, I get it. But you're having techniques in which you are going to learn how the person should tolerate it, mm-hmm. how the person should figure out how to get back at the right time. Don't mm-hmm. force it. You'll get back to the right place. And I want to know what to do with this. One thing is for sure. If I don't feel this, there's nothing I can do with this. If I'm here, I will never do anything with this. I can't. Like, I cannot talk to you if you're not here. I cannot interact with something if it's not there. So it's crazy difficult that all of our, let's say, negative character traits, especially for most people that are good people, they have it hidden. You can't even begin to deal with it because it's not there. You have to, it has to come up. When a guy who thought they have betochen was fortunate to have a moment, which should never happen again, in which because of extreme stress, there was a moment where they did not feel betochen. First of all, they were in touch with a part of them that was always there, but they never knew of. Knowing is already better, even though it doesn't feel good. That's the wrong attitude. What do you mean doesn't feel good? That's what it is. I have that. I have to learn how to get used to the fact that I have within me the left.
So can we call the lack of betochen panic?
I don't care talking about panic. If panic to me, I'm just thinking back and forth, doesn't sound as judgmentally bad as a lack of betochen, because I'm a religious person, and in Yiddishkeit, panic is like a curse. It's in the curses that you'll have panic attacks. In the Teuchach and the admonition, God says, you're going to have panic attacks. We all are blessed with that. If you cut your fingernails and you don't do it out of order, if you don't wash an egelvasen, it says you don't do that, you're going to get pachad. Baruch Hashem, we have full of pachad. So we did all the sins and we have pachad. I think lack of betochen to me sounds much worse. Because panic attacks is just a horrible thing to experience. Lack of trust, not only is it a horrible thing to experience, but it's avodah zarah. No, the guy was very conscious. He was aware of the fact that he did not trust.
But I'm thinking
not in God, not in fellow man.
It's a lack of God consciousness. It's a lack of das.
You can argue that in any negative emotion, but when we experience it, it's real for us. Going to God is the way I, in my way of understanding things, and it has to evolve, mm-hmm. is simply me leaving the darkness. I don't want to be possessed by the Yetzer Hara. I want to go to the Yetzer Toif, beautiful, but the Yetzer Hara will not be moved.
I believe that Hashem is over there.
Very good.
I also believe that.
So now, 1 second. So translate that better. So let's go. I want to go to my story. A person mm-hmm. never tasted lack of trust. By the way, many people are very familiar with lack of trust and they learn how to live with it. But when you have a person that has this inner, it's a gift, they trust in Hashem. You know, even though they're in pickles, deep down, they know it's going to work out. That's a great thing. It's a gift. Imagine a person who's in his probably 40s, who basically always felt that within them, that they have real, and on top of that, a person who shara bitachin a lot. Once you get into a very holy place, you're like you're living with God. Mitamal, all of a sudden, oh my God. I saw darkness. I saw a bad ending. I did not see God saving me. I did not see my fellow man saving me. I never knew that experience. What do I do with that? Now, okay, so for Aleph, hallelujah, that now you know you have that. Now you know yourself better.
But what if it really does turn out like a
like October 7th, like you're really in real danger and it does not turn out for the best?
That's another question. I'm talking about a feeling. You're talking about reality. I'm talking about I'm talking about the feeling based on the Shara Bitachin. Mm-hmm. That Bitachin is really a feeling. I'm saying many things that are based on many premises that people can challenge.
Okay.
I can stand my ground, but I know there's a lot that I'm taking as a given. If Bitachin is to be understood as a feeling,
mm-hmm.
and it's a mitzvah to have the feeling of trust,
mm-hmm.
not having Bitachin, I like the way you said it. You're making me feel hard. Means that you don't you're not with God. You're in a godless place. You're not living.
Even on October 7th, which is actually a very good example. If God forbid we were behind a bush and there were terrorists coming and killing everybody, at that moment your primal instinct of survival comes out, and you're like, "There is no God. Like I'm gonna die right now."
I don't know. I was never in that place.
Shalom,
I was
I'm
never in that
saying,
place. Can I make a counter argument? And I'm just arguing for arguing. If a person would have, by nature or by virtue of the work, or because they had a grandmother that did a lot of mitzvahs, they were gifted by God for whatever, if that person would have more bitachin, I don't see a person with bitachin as a person who would not do everything they can to save themselves. I don't see that in my mind as a contradiction. I would see them going through that experience with a lot less trauma, whatever the outcome would be, and if it was meant by God for them to survive, they will look back and they will be very proud of themselves that throughout this ordeal, I never lost my connection that I'm under God's protection. I felt I'm under God's protection. Versus the other person, which is this guy's case, is that they survived. And now they misunderstand what the lack of trust is. They think it was their choice. They think they sinned. They thought that they never had lack of trust, that many mistakes that they made. And all of a sudden, oh my God, I have within me the lack of trust. I'm a horrible person. I don't have
bitachon.
It's not your fault. Number two, you always had it. Number three, you were never able to work with it because you never knew you had it. Now that you discovered that only in extreme cases, I know that, only when that person triggers the anger, but you have it, now what? So there's two ways. One way in life is endure it because it's going to pass over. Get myself back to the side. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm giving there is a place in which I'm going to engage with it. What am I telling it? And the Alter Rebbe gives a very important yesod. When you hear it, it's going to resonate because it's emes, but it's a big thing. That everything that's within us, lack of trust, in its root, in its source, there is a place where it's important to have a lack of trust. If you can see that feeling, if it's in the right place, is actually a mitzvah feeling, a godly feeling. It's only that as it came down into my life at this moment, it was misplaced almost. It's like when you lose your diamond, it fell out of the setting and it's laying over there amongst your pebbles in the backyard. It's the diamond.
Was fallen fear,
Yira? Uh-oh. Very good. So you have to, in other words, the Alter Rebbe interprets that it says, Ki seitze la molchama al oivecha. Al oivecha, the Alter Rebbe says, you have to see that al means on top. Instead of looking at the enemy here he's the enemy, but if you look where he came from, if you look at the root of anything that you have within you, its root is holy. And to what does that mean practically? There are moments in life where you have to be untrusting.
Of God?
No, never of God.
Oh.
That's the misplaced.
Mm-hmm.
But almost all people that were violated in any way, that were hurt, almost all people, when they look back, what makes it even worse is because there was a voice within them that warned them, like cross the street, which would make the guy walking ashamed or uncomfortable if they're innocent, right? It doesn't feel good if someone looks at you and they judge you to be a danger. We so much have kindness in us that we don't want to offend someone, that we do that on our safety's cheshbon the whole time. This is being selfless in the wrong place.
You're saying people get warnings to not go into danger.
In other words, there are times that there are certain people, settings, mm-hmm. that are not trustworthy.
Like, do you think everyone who like went to the Nova Festival got some kind of warning? Maybe
I don't know. I don't want to apply this everywhere. I'm just giving about that concept.
Mm-hmm. That settings or people, like untrusting towards people.
Settings, people. I think that we so much find it virtuous to be trusting. When it comes to Hashem, it's virtuous to be trusting. But because of the emphasis of being trusting in God, many people naively become too trusting. And there are scenarios in life where it's good to be untrusting.
Okay, so I struggle with this because there's so much of this talk of, like, you know, the book Tomer Devorah and Dan Lakovskos and finding, like, why would someone do something wrong and finding the good within them. Where do boundaries come in when you're judging someone favorably and not trusting them, but seeing the good? You know, like, where do you draw the line?
You have no idea how many people got so hurt because of a misplacement, a miss of judging people favorably. That's exactly the point that I'm making. I don't have the answer. It's complicated, and I don't think there's a formula. But when I discover within me a midah of untrusting, let me just go to the good. That means that there are times, even if it's only 1 in 100, it's not about the quantity. Could be it's a lot more. I'm not even talking about it's just a little. That's not the point. Is that there is, in the root, untrusting in its root is a great thing to have. And when I experience it, it could be that I will experience it towards the wrong thing at the wrong time. Many people do that. They are trusting when they should have been untrusting, and they were untrusting when they should have been trusting. And go figure that out. It can take you 50 years. But if I'm going to accept that everything that Hashem put in me, everything in its source, in its root, is something correct. In my consciousness, it's not correct. It means it fell down. You think about something falling. If you place things down, everything is mesudet. Look at this house. But if something were to fall, if that were to fall, everything is, it will be a balagan. So there is a fall, the fall of man. There was a falling that happened. So things are misplaced. I think this is my understanding of this specific maimer regarding the enemies, that the dialogue here is not for me to save myself, which is what I think you're doing one way or the other. It could be I misunderstood you, but like, take it easy, you'll get over it, it's gonna pass. Educate yourself, remember that you should be trusting. First of all, it's all good. I'm speaking about, let me actually, finally I found I'm untrusting. Hallelujah. Celebrate that. That's the way I would say it. And own the fact that Hashem put within me untrusting. Where is it good to be untrusting? And I'm telling you that person, I understand this, has in his life something to which he should be untrusting towards, and he's not. So the untrusting needed to come out. That's awesome. And God, the Hashgacha Prat, has made you experience it. And I want to speak about anger, because anger, I know, is something that anger. The Alter Rebbe says that we have to be angry towards evil. I'm not talking towards people. I'm giving an example of something that's so bad. Anger is avodah zarah, that tzaddik is angry at evil. God is angry every day. These are words of the Torah. Of course, it's not our anger. I don't want to jump to speak about that. But the root of all negative feelings, and there's nothing wrong saying that the lack of emunah is a negative thing, 100%. It's a mitzvah to have betachen. It means it's not good, not, Just because it's not good doesn't mean it's there. It's easy. Just because it's not good to be poor, so what? A poor person can say it's not good to be poor. They won't become wealthy because of it.
And they can have all the good in the world. They're still maybe not going to become wealthy.
Yeah, in other words, yes. And in addition, just knowing that it's not good doesn't make it good. But what does make something bad good is if you say that in your root, the core midah in the root, in the source, is not bad. In the root, it's good.
So listen to it more carefully.
So listen to it. Really, so listen to more. Listen to it. Find out what is there in its root. Same thing would be with anger. It could be that a person who never gets angry, notice they never get angry. These irritated people, they irritate everyone else because they're never angry. No matter what happens, they're good. They drive everyone else crazy because we envy that. And then finally, they got angry. Oh my God, they feel so guilty. I can't believe that. Could be that that person needs a bit more anger in their lives towards evil. You have to be careful where to apply it. You can only do that work if you feel the anger. Can't do this now. This is just talk. But when a person feels the lack of trust, take that and apply it where it belongs. It's bad, yet the way you experienced it is bad. No problem. I think it's good for a yid to know that losing awareness that Hashem is with me, that's not, never, why is that a good thing? It's a bad thing. You want to judge it, judge it. But the feeling of the lack of trust in its root, in the right place, at the right time, might even save your life. Going back to the Nova Festival, I think some people survive. Maybe there's a scientific study. Maybe people that are untrusting people, maybe these are people that survive more. I don't know the study. It could be because they're always looking over the shoulder.
Yeah.
Maybe when you live in a dangerous world, maybe it's safer for you to always look over your shoulder. I don't know. Versus the person that's carefree. Maybe carefree makes you a target. Makes you a target. Because the bandit is going to hurt someone. They would rather hurt someone who will fight back less, who will be less prepared. They say when you walk on the street, don't be on your phone. Don't be this. You see, look at, well, I'm a trusting person.
But I really struggle with this because then on the other side of the coin, we really learn about good midos and being, you know, more trusting. Not being untrusting and looking at the good in people and really knowing them, their source, everyone's really good. And Jews aren't like going to come out and harm you because they're all tzaddikim. Everyone's a tzaddik.
No. That sounds to me innocent and foolish. That's not true. That Jews are in their core good, but when you live in any society, like you live in Israel or you live in a society to come with the premise that no one is going to hurt you on any level, come on.
So you
do you think
judge,
do you think that
Jew?
About your?
I try my best to judge people favorably.
Well, every person has a track record. Right, you were married. You have a spouse. You have kids. You know their strong points. You know their weak points. Yeah, you should beware. That kid probably is going to give you a tough time. Don't be trusting that it will be different. No, that's a whole different topic. That I'm not advocating for people to go into the world of not trust. We work to be trusting. I'm speaking about if a person experiences a moment of the lack of trust, that there's so many blessings in it. The first blessing is that if you experience it now, you always had it in you. Remember that. The event was just a trigger, but it's you. And you never knew you had it. Many people are really delusional. They think, I'm not angry. Only you make me angry. No, that means I'm an angry person. What do I do with that? When I experience anger, instead of me trying to save myself from the horrible experience, let me actually taste it, feel it, own it, see I'm angry, and then think, where is there a place in my life where this should be placed? Because in its root, it's coming, it's me. It took hold of me. It's I can't ignore it, and I can't say you're bad. I didn't choose this. No, I chose kindness. I chose bitachon. That's my choice. If you ask me what's up to me, I choose trust. It's a mitzvah to have trust. Who would not want to become? Who wants to walk around feeling anxiety? No one. But if a person is anxious, then you have to go to the root. And there is a place in which you should be anxious. And if you lack that, anxiety could be a gift. Anxiety could be you have a sixth sense, and whenever there is something not okay, if you were to see it, you won't even have to feel anxious. But when you're blind to something that you should not be blind to, could be God gave you a gift. Something in you is going to drive you crazy. You have to discover where it's coming from. You go to the root. When you go to the root of it, there'll be good in it. And that's the way, just to conclude, the Alter Rebbe, it translates that it says at the end that you will capture a captive. Vishavisa shivyoi. You go to war. So the captive is that the root of your negative experience, the root is godliness. It's a spark. But it was captured in the wrong place. You have to redeem it. You're redeeming the captive. You're not changing the captive. You're taking it out from the wrong place. Not trusting towards God is wrong. Be trusting to God. Be not trusting to a person who's untrustworthy. That's good.
And if you admit that that person is not trustworthy, then you are able to trust God better, because now you've replaced where the person
is. For sure. Because that untrust, which you always have towards God, like this guy experienced, that there was a lack of trust in God, it's always there. When a person sees that they don't trust God, I think that's the first step of really trusting God. Because prior to that step, they had the not trust and they didn't even know it. Now you know it. So first of all, you already know it. Not that my whole being is untrusting. I have a trusting part, I have an untrusting part. And number two, I can do this avoida. Not when I talk about it here, but when you feel not lack of trust, I think that's the time to think, where should I use this? Where does it belong? Place this, not place you out of it. Place this in its right place. Place it.
Okay, so basically while I'm hanging out over there waiting for it to pass, now I have something to do.
I have something what to do. And can I tell you something? When people go on that journey, this is a journey, it's not simple, it's easy to talk about. When you have this experience, you will almost look forward the next time. So instead of you running away, like a person says, like, I don't want to get anxiety. I'm not going to put myself in a place that I know for me triggers my anxiety. When you start doing that avoida, I'm not saying that you should look for it, but you'll mamish be looking for it.
Yeah. Like, what kinds of things are so great that you find? I mean, it seems like it's something really unpleasant. Like, what's, can you just give me
a lot of, I would say that a lot of unpleasantness, not all of it, a lot of it is coming from the wrong narrative. It's coming from the wrong perception of it. Many things, like in the world of taste, they don't taste good. But if someone were to explain to you something different, all of a sudden, beer is disgusting. Mm-hmm. I think objectively, you began to like it.
Like if somebody's in your life who's like complaining or critical or, you know, negative, and like sometimes I think, why do I have to deal with this? You know, like it's just.
If you can avoid that person, avoid that person.
Yeah,
I'm not talking about that person. I'm talking about I'm happy you said this, well, Kufin. I'm talking about your feeling when you are in the presence of that person. Mm-hmm. What is that feeling?
Not that person?
How do you feel when you are in their presence? That's what I'm talking about.
Nervous.
Okay, so that's what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
What's the opposite for you of nervous?
Relaxed.
Okay, yeah. Let's use that. Mm-hmm. So is it correct to say that it's ideal to be relaxed?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. If it's up to me, I would choose to be relaxed. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong. I prefer relaxed versus nervous. Mm-hmm. Some people, by nature, are relaxed people. Mm-hmm. We know that?
Some Jews.
Some goyim. Some goyim. Okay, very good, very good. No, hold with it. I'm going to apply this to your mashal. If a person thinks, I'm a relaxed person, but they have within them nervousness, first of all, they're completely off their track. They don't even know themselves. Mm-hmm. Every now and then, God will awaken that person by doing them a favor, by creating a setting that someone or something will make them feel nervous. Mm-hmm. Now they feel nervous. Now what do you do with that feeling?
Just really look at it. Like, why?
So nervous is experienced as a bad feeling. Mm-hmm. There is the root of nervousness, which I don't know what that is, but there is an avoida that when you feel something, to try to get to know it better. Mm. It's like when you have the guest that stinks. So one attitude is like, get out of my house. One attitude, you're already in my house, I'm going to deal with you. I'm going to get to know you. So you have to get to, you have to get to know nervousness. And the nervousness that you have, that person triggered, but it's your nervousness, somewhere, someplace, has a good function for you. I don't know yet.
Okay.
I'm not giving you the answers. It's a way. This is a way of going through life. Okay. The Alter Rebbe says, number one, most people don't know their enemies. In the context that we're talking about, like if I'm a relaxed person, I don't even know that I'm nervous. So the only way for me to deal with my nervousness, one way or the other way, is for me to see it. So when I see nervousness, I shouldn't go and say, oh, today was a horrible day. Today I was nervous. You're lucky. Today you met a part of you that you barely met before. You have an undeveloped part. Your relaxed part is developed and you know how to use it to your benefit. What about your nervous part? You don't even know it. You don't even know you have it. Now that you know that you have it, or if you know that you have it, if you don't like the way it feels, most people when we're younger, we're spending every koyach to run away that which we don't like. And that's a big mistake because I cannot run away from me. So if that person is a nudnik, gesunte hate if you can live without them. But the nervousness is within you.
So like use the nervousness to just have bits
Understand what it is and know that in its root, there is a good function of it. And it would serve you well for you to discover what that is and to know how to use it to your benefit. As an example, you have a bad friend. Just what came to me. Mm-hmm. But that friend doesn't like nervous people. Mm-hmm. When they come around, get nervous. Mm-hmm. And you'll get rid of them. You'll use it as a shield to protect you from people that you don't want to be with. You just don't know how to get rid of them.
Or just like a relative, you know?
You get nervous whenever the relative comes. And don't hide it, don't deny it, don't judge it. Become very nervous.
No, but that just makes it worse, you know?
Well,
yeah.
That's the point.
But those friends also often help you refine your midos.
What was that?
Yeah, those friends.
That's a whole different derech. Mm-hmm. You're talking about refining midos. You're talking about they help you self-regulate.
They put you on a better tune. They put you on a better...
They help you self-regulate. I'm talking about a whole different avoida. I think self-regulating, which is hiskafia, is something that we all learn how to do when we're very little. Mm-hmm. Foundational.
Hopefully. We
all do because no one gets what they want the whole time. I learn how to tell myself no. I'm not talking about telling you, now you're nervous. I'm telling my nervousness, don't stick your head up. And it didn't work now. And I think the older we get, the parts in us that need something from us, if we tell it no, they're gonna get the last word. We never get the last word. It takes a long, they always get the last word. Mamish. Now I know how to manage my anxiety. Whoever says that, their anxiety is gonna get the last word. They're gonna show you, no, I manage you, you don't manage me. Everyone. Even when they're drugged up on Xanax, and at the end, the anxiety is gonna get the last word.
So it's more like, get to know it so that you can like join your betachon with that.
Get to know it, get to know where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. Get to know there's something in it that is good, mm-hmm. that you are ignoring, that you need. It's almost like a friend of yours that you find unattractive that is coming with a gift. And every time you see it, get away. And out of its love to you, it's going to still have mercy on you. And it's coming to give you, what's the gift? The nervousness. What's the gift? The untrustingness. What's the gift? The anger. It's a gift. How is it a gift? There is not the way you're using it. Not the way you're applying it. That's not a gift. That's a horrible thing. We have to have betachen in God. But sometimes we are overly trusting in man. or in a specific man, or in a specific formula, or in a specific something, and we have to. But I'm a trusting person. No, you're not. You see, you're untrusting. Just direct your untrustingness towards that. Something like that. That's taking your enemy and making your enemy your friend.
Like, trust God more in that moment than trust the person.
But I would work again on the path of discover whom you're trusting that you shouldn't. And that's why God made it that this person needed to experience not trust, because he needs that. Because it's good for him. Not the way he experienced it, which was a lack of trust in God, but there's take that and use it in the right place. That's called that you recapture the captive.
Because you toughen yourself up that way?
No, you don't tough. This is not tough. This is not about tough at all.
Well, you become more refined in some way, or you... Like, you're better able to handle that.
I would say that you rectified something that was unrectified. It's like when you have a wild child, okay? Mm-hmm. So one way will be to discipline the child. Mm-hmm. One way is to use that energy to do something that only that energy can do. I'm talking about the latter. Mm-hmm. You're using that for something good. A child that's super active at the wrong time is horrible, but certain people, certain things can only get done by a certain character type. The wild one, the one that plowing over these unsensitive people. There is a place for them. There are certain things that can only get accomplished when you have a person that doesn't care about how other people feel, they just do it. I'm saying doing that within ourselves.